Heard at Sports Radio every weekday morning from 7 to 10 a.m. Coming up on Friday's show, it's a free-for-all as usual. We'll talk with Chad Forbes of NFL Draft Bites about all the things going on in the NFL. Mike Sauter from Heard at Sports stops by with all his takes on the latest local sports action. And, of course, we'll do our weekly check-in with former Husker and current pizza shop owner Matt Versal. Take a dive into the latest news and all things sports. Heard at Sports Radio with Ravi Lula and Damon Benning.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, yeah. Gary Sharp is with us, the Iron Horse, Hail Varsity Radio Weekend. Sharpie, what's the good word, man? How's your weekend?
Hey, you know what this weekend is? We've got FDU and FAU in the Sweet 16, man. I'm glad that America knew that was going to happen, and we all picked that matchup.
Well, I'm sure you did, knowing your crystal ball abilities. Wow. We kicked off the show beating the dead horse that is Purdue basketball in the NCAA tournament. How do you view it? Do you view it as a black eye for the league? Or is it more of a Purdue thing or a little bit of both? How did you process last night before we get into spring football?
See, I think when you get to the NCAA tournament, everybody's on their own. You get to the finish line, and it's great to have 8-9 teams. It shows the depth of your conference. But once you get to this time of the year and the matchups are completely different and you're playing teams that you haven't seen before, or you know, you haven't played anybody in your conference in a couple of months, so you got to, you know, it's somebody new that you got to scout for, and the randomness of March Madness, I think then you're on your own and anything can happen. But, man, that's the way Purdue played last night in kind of Arizona. It's one of those things, the toughest game in the tournament is your first game because you're tight, you're in a new arena, you got new basketballs, you got a new opponent, you don't know how people are going to react. And if you can get past that first game, if you're a favorite, it seems like you settle in. But if you let the team that you're playing as an underdog just hang around, and you don't put them away, or you play a style that fuels a comeback, if you play kind of a slow, methodical style like Arizona does or Virginia does or a little bit Purdue, you allow teams to be able to dream and pull off that upset. And great on FDU for doing what they did, because they came out throwing punches and they were pretty confident. Man, that's a Matt Painter thing. He had a team, but you know what? A lot of people didn't expect them to, at least I believe, this is what I've always said, because I didn't like young guards in the tournament. And the fact that Zach Edey would be officiated differently and probably defended differently. So I didn't have Purdue going a long way. I had him actually being knocked out in the next round. But the fact that they didn't use the big man at the end of the game and really like the last half of the second half, I think Purdue got tight. They got a little rattled. And as a result, they got upset. And they're joining history. Virginia and Purdue can hang out in the same fraternity where UMBC and FDU are standing on the corner.
Yeah, and we were talking too. This is a year after St. Peter's knocked off Purdue, right? So, like, there's got to be something there. And that's the thing, too, is like Matt Painter is, man, he's a great coach. If you look across the Big Ten, give me Izzo number one. I put Painter probably two in general, just overall, how he runs the program, just, you know. But, man, there is something he is doing where he doesn't get his guys ready. I don't know if he's tight leading into it, but. They did not look like they were having fun. They did not look like they had each other's backs. They did not, especially when you compared them to Fairleigh Dickinson, who was celebrating everything with each other, crazy emotional, crazy energetic. And then there's Purdue sort of sleepwalking.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point, Mark, and using the word tight. It's also when your best player is not a guy that's going to have the ball in his hands all the time, like as a guard, that makes it a little bit tougher. And, you know, again, that team that plays in the play-in game, look at Arizona State, Pittsburgh, FDU, they get a head start on the tournament. So they've already played a game, so they've got all those nerves out of the way. And especially if they win, they're like, you know what, now we're playing with house money. And history says one of us is going to make it to the round of 32. So you come into that game with some confidence. And again, if you're facing a team that doesn't come out and tiptoes, like UCLA was impressive. UCLA didn't even mess around the other night against Asheville. If you mess around and you let a team hang around, you get the result last night. But that's what makes March Madness great. I mean, it might have ruined all of our brackets, but my gosh, everybody all of a sudden was Googling, where is FDU? Who are these guys? What is going on? What is a paladin? That's why these last two days, are like the greatest thing in American sports back-to-back days on the calendar. We can all like come together as a country, and we all can laugh at our own in the Big Ten. But, yeah, it's Matt Painter. I don't know what happens when they get to this time of the year, if all of the sphincter goes, or they just do things they're not normally going to do, like in huddles, out-of-bounds plays, that kind of stuff. But that's something you have to be examined. But I'm with you to finish this. He's one of the better coaches in the Big Ten, just like Tony Bennett is one of the better coaches in college basketball. But there's just something about this time of the year and the style you play that fuels comebacks on the other side.
Gary, quickly, before we get to some Husker football thoughts, I need your take on Creighton getting the win yesterday over NC State there onto the round of 32.
North Carolina State, you know, they were harassed by Creighton's guards. And, I mean, you got the big man, Kalkbrenner, who, you know, Charles Barkley can't pronounce his name correctly, but it is Kalkbrenner. He was dominant, and you knew he'd be dominant. And now they've got that little elephant in the room of Baylor back in 2014. Baylor is not as athletically gifted, but they've got quality guards. That should be a great matchup at 6:10 tomorrow night. But you know, I got Creighton going to the Sweet 16. I'm not a big fan of Baylor. I thought their defense went south towards the tail end of the year, but they closed out UC Santa Barbara. Creighton closed out North Carolina State. That should be a really, really good game. Keep an eye on today, Kansas-Arkansas. And we talk about coaching. If Bill Self is on the sidelines, he's the best big game coach in college basketball. But in a short turnaround, which you have in the tournament, Eric Musselman is really, really good. And the way Arkansas plays could just cause some havoc for KU before they settle in. That's one of my games to watch, is possibly another number one that can go down. And, of course, Houston playing essentially a road game against Auburn and now in Birmingham.
I did not have enough guts to go with Auburn over Houston, but I did pick Arkansas over Kansas. So, Sharpie, let's talk about Nebraska's personnel on offense as Satterfield and Rhule are trying to sift through that here. They've had winter conditioning. Now spring ball gets going Monday. How do you feel about Nebraska's ability to make progress with what they want to do offensively? Getting the Satterfield scheme, that pro style, adapted to the personnel. Do you like Nebraska's personnel with what Satterfield wants to run or has run successfully at South Carolina and other stops?
I do, and I don't think they're changing the alphabet. You know, I think it's going to be a lot of familiarity to guys and different styles that they've played, either where they came from or a little bit at Nebraska. You know, I think spring football will be a learning curve, but I think the offense should be ahead of the defense, because I think the defense, with installation and trying to get some familiarity with language and how they line up, that could take a little bit. But I'm comfortable on offense. The thing on offense this year is, in spring, is I'm looking who's going to be the number three quarterback. Sims and Thompson are going to be around, and Sims is going to be fully healthy, but that's not really going to take off until the fall. The number three quarterback, playing behind two guys that have never made it through their entire college career healthy, that's going to be a position I'm going to watch, because if you're not in the number three quarterback, you might be leaving. But look at it, running back. Running back might be the strongest and deepest position on the roster. Wide receiver, they have a lot of them, but who's it going to be? And then up front on the offensive line, you know, there's going to be some guys that are not going to be available, but there's going to be a pecking order that will be established. I really think this offense, it'll be a smoother transition than it will on defense, even though some of the better players on this roster, I think, are on that side of the ball. But I'm curious to see how this all works. But I also think, you know, we've gotten kind of an inkling, Marcus Satterfield, earlier in the week. We all clamor for, hey, OC man, just can you adapt to the strengths of the guys that are playing, quarterback named Martinez or the running back named Grant? Can you please do that? I think Satterfield, he has shown that he is open to that. And I think that'll benefit Nebraska initially a lot better than it has in the past.
Few names I want to get into here, Gary. A couple guys that have, at least from the videos that they've been putting out in conditioning, that I believe have really changed their body types. I think Ethan Piper looks a little bit more like a vintage Nebraska offensive lineman. Like, got some muscle definition going on, even though he's 300 plus. You're like, whoa, okay, that dude looks ready to go. And then Nash Hutmacher, too, looks like he's trimmed considerably, and he could, and he needed to. Curious on if you think maybe just the style of conditioning, the style of strength training that they're employing could give a couple of those guys a new lease on life.
Well, I think so, and there's probably going to be four or five other guys as well, Mark. When you look at Piper, so when people see the offensive line, and if you're up bright and early at 6 a.m. on Monday when they start practice, that the offensive line, so they're not, it strikes me as there's not as bulky. Like, it's just, mm-hmm. you know, we're not mass and we're just going to be these road graders. There are guys that look like they have put on mass, but it's more of an athletic-looking mass, if that makes sense, mm-hmm. with an offensive lineman, yep. where yep. they're not going to be able to run block successfully, but also take the next step and get to the second level. And I think that's been the whole goal with offensive linemen. But other guys, you know, it looks they've worked on speed. I had somebody that has been there most of the winter conditioning tell me last week. He said, you know what, we always thought we were fast. Scott always preached, let's get fast guys. But if you look at after the first couple of recruiting classes, Nebraska never really recruited speed. And that mm-hmm. became an issue last year. They noticed on the field that a lot of teams were taking advantage of Nebraska's lack of speed on the outside, and they were pinpointing that. This person told me last week that wait till you see this team. There are some guys that you thought, man, were slow and they ran in molasses, that all of a sudden either they're more confident or their bodies are different and they've worked on speed training. The guys fly up and down the field. Isn't that wild that we never really talked about Frost saying, man, that's a fast team. That Nebraska just runs yeah. all over the place. Now we get Rule in here, and that's what everybody wants to talk about is all this speed and how it'll be a benefit to Nebraska.
You know, and I want to switch over to defense and point taken, but in terms of guys that maybe can get a new lease on life, Noah Pola Gates jumps out to me because in terms of athleticism and in terms of willingness to hit, that has never been a question with that guy. And, you know, in any of the spring games that he's played in, he's been involved in some collisions and he gets there quickly. When he was in the high school all-star game, it was the same deal. I mean, the guy's a headhunter. Kind of reminds me of a bit of a, like a Ricky Thanars type. What I don't know is was it the scheme or his capacity to learn it that has kept him from being a player? Because in terms of physical attributes, I think he's got everything you're looking for.
Yes. I'm going to tend to go the thing that's kept him off the field is just that extra oomph, so to speak, that, you know, he shows in practice that it's above and beyond and he can make plays and that he's dialed in. I think there's probably a run of things that has kept him off the field, but this is a big spring for somebody like that because guys that are a little bit older in the program, they have this last, like, chance to prove themselves, and if they don't, then you're probably thinking, are they one of the 15 or so that are going to be gone? Something to keep an eye on, guys, and I don't have specific names for you, but it'll become pretty clear. There have been a handful of guys that have already left the program during winter conditioning that we will find out this upcoming week when they update Huskers.com or Matt Rhule alludes to it, the guys that are not here. I believe that he is still here, but I think those are guys, some of the older guys in the program that are now redshirt juniors or true juniors that have been here for 3 years. This is a huge spring for them to make an impression on a brand new position coach to try and find their way on the field. I don't know if Noah Pola Gates is that, and that's unfortunate because when he signed with Nebraska, we thought, man, this is a game changer because he was really good in high school. What happened? That's where the development part of the new regime comes in and says, okay, a guy that has been on a milk carton, hey, welcome back. Where you been for 3 years? Maybe that's him. I don't know. I think he has a ways to go.
Now, well, Gere, really fast here. I want to get a question, Mark, if you don't mind, Gere, because you're talking about guys that have left the program, and that really piqued my interest. Is that referring to that rule that we've talked to a couple times this offseason where guys are allowed to remain on scholarship at Nebraska as long as they're not on the football team? It's that loophole that they can remain on academic scholarship, they remain at Nebraska, they don't go into the transfer portal, and they don't count towards the 85-man limit. Is that what we're talking about? Are these guys that we're going to learn as the months go on are going to be entering their names in the transfer portal? Which side
no,
of that
I
is
think,
this?
I think these guys that are fully out of the program that want to go and it's better for them to go play somewhere else. I mean, I'm not saying anything new. Fedoni actually kind of let the cat out of the bag the other day when he said that there have been guys that have, he quote-unquote quit during winter conditioning. I mean, Nebraska's got to make some moves. They got to make about 15 moves with guys to open up spots on the roster. They don't have to be to 85 until fall camp starts. So there's going to be there'll be some movement. I don't believe, though, it'll be anybody shocking where you go, oh, man, you know, on the level of Wandale Robinson where you go, whoa, what happened there? Why'd he leave?
Okay, so, yeah, and I guess the thing I wanted to get to as just a follow-up to that is I bring up Noah Pola-Gates individually, but, you know, I don't know his individual situation. I'm not there watching training and don't know his attitude or whatever. But I'm just wondering if we should or could expect that there will be guys like him that just needed a different structure because maybe they're not as self-regulated. Maybe they're not as self-motivated. It appears that Matt Rhule has brought that where it's like your days are pretty clinically outlined for you. You're eating lunch at this time. You're going to class at this time. So like, it seems like it forces a little bit more of a straight and narrow approach. I'm just wondering if because of that, if there are some dudes on the roster that we haven't seen that are really going to benefit from that because that's ultimately what they need in order to kind of be their best.
Well, and that's, you know, I mean, I know where you're going, Mark, and you're very, very observant on that because doesn't Matt Rhule strike you as a micromanager? And we've all been in businesses where maybe our boss has been a micromanager and we absolutely hate it, but probably where the football program is right now, it's okay to have a guy that's a micromanager. And that's what Rhule is. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. He likes to be involved in every aspect of Nebraska football. And if I'm the guy in charge and my butt's on the line, that's important. But I think there's some guys that, because of that, and the attention to detail and the attention to the process, and you've got to follow that or you're going to be left behind. Those are the guys you're talking about, Mark, that maybe here in spring we all of a sudden go, okay, here he is. Here's the guy that we thought when he came on campus, he all of a sudden has been discovered. Now, here's the other side of that, though. If they don't make improvement in the spring, then it's easy to say it just didn't work out. So it kind of goes both ways. That's why, you know, spring football will be fascinating, and it'll also probably be a true spring football where spring football, to me, has always never been about the team development. It has been about individual development. And when you have to cut down your roster and make decisions on, you know, who's going to be the guys you can rely on the fall, I think this is an ideal spring for a new staff where it's all on the individual to see kind of who plays out in the pecking order.
Gary Sharp with us, the Iron Horse weekend edition, Hail Varsity podcast as well, Spotify, iTunes, Google Play. Sharp, we'll get you out on this, and thanks for spending this morning with us talking some ball. We'll go to Husker Baseball and get your reaction from earlier in the week with the Mavs doing damage to Nebraska. Nebraska had been on a nice spurt, 9 out of 10. The Mavs wouldn't go away, wouldn't say die. Kranak's got his bobblehead Mav right now up on screen, just giving
Durango.
You a little visual.
Durango bobblehead, yeah.
Ringo, is that his name?
Durango.
Durango, sorry.
Yeah.
So you had that happen. Nebraska looks to be back in focus 2-1 and then 17-1 or something like that yesterday. Yep, 17-1. So they need to do work against Nichols. Creighton looms. What did Omaha and Nebraska's results say to you? Is it going to be a season where you'll get an occasional hiccup, or do you think this was the final wake-up call for Nebraska baseball? To a team that they should have beaten, and that's no disrespect to UNO. They've got a great program and coaching staff, and a lot of local kids. That they had a great effort this week.
Yeah, well, you know, one of those local kids, Cam Frederick from Lincoln Southwest, was a big part of Omaha's victory. You know, they didn't have Mike Bovey, who I think is, along with Max Anderson, two in-state guys, the two best players in the state of Nebraska right now, playing Division I. Evan Porter's got a really good program, and Omaha gets up for that game. And that's one of those games where, you know, if it's played not midweek and you don't have Garza on a pitch count, probably Nebraska on the mound is fine because Garza's going to pitch a while, and he's been really, really good for you, maybe good enough to be the number 3 starter on a weekend in the Big Ten. It's the FAFO principle. You mess around, you boot the ball around, you're not able to take advantage of your opportunities, you're not able to throw strikes, and you have a team that's a big deal for Omaha to play Nebraska, and they've won three of the last four. Those results happen. Disappointed and Nebraska was able to throw strikes, but that's also a little bit on Omaha. Omaha came in, you got the bases loaded on the bottom of the eighth, you got 2-3-4 up, and there's three straight strikeouts. So you can't let that result, which kind of looked like a game in San Diego after you'd won 9 of 10, you can't let that result beat you the next time out. And Nebraska yesterday in Manhattan showed that. So I'm okay 5 weeks into the college baseball season. Buy some stock in Nebraska competing for the top of the Big Ten with Maryland and Iowa, because I think they will establish a good weekend rotation that they'll be able to win in the Big Ten. I'm not saying they're an NCAA team, but I think they're going to be they're not the fifth best team in the Big Ten. They're better than the fifth best team. But that's a learning experience that every game matters when you only play 56. I wonder with the weather if Nebraska is going to get to 56, because I think if they're thinking about the NCAA, guys, don't you think you have to get 36, 37, 38, maybe even 39 wins to be attracted to the committee out of the Big Ten?
Yeah, probably. You got to finish in that upper end, and especially if you're talking about hosting, then yeah, you probably 40s are cut off. And I don't think
I say a big number because your RPI is going to be really low because of your non-con and the Big Ten. And if you look at the bottom of the Big Ten, and thank God Nebraska plays Minnesota and Northwestern, the bottom of the Big Ten not so good. The top of the Big Ten is going to be really competitive.
Yeah, you got Iowa up there. You got Purdue up there. Purdue plays a little bit of a different style where they're kind of like they're the small ball steel kind of team. You got Maryland up there. Iowa's got the good top end pitching. But Gary, at this point, you have to say that Nebraska's offense is among the tops. I think it sounds weird, but I think among the tops nationwide. Yeah, just by this point, you've had enough games. You knocked off, a top 10 program earlier this year in Vandy. You're putting up run. I mean, they're batting. They're up to 335. You know, like that is an improvement. That is like a 80 point improvement that they made offensively. I don't know what's different, but my goodness, you can't ignore it. You can't say this is a. I'm going to call my shots right here. They're not finishing below 300 as a team this year.
And they still strike out a little bit too much for my liking, but they're barreling up more balls. And remember, Englund is out of the lineup as well. Bumper stickers and the T-shirts are in production, the Corn Crushers. So any help I can get on that, I would appreciate that.
You're making that a thing, man. Let's look at Josh Caron alone, right? The dude was below the Mendoza line last year. Now he's crushing and he's taken the catching job from Griffin Everett. They're an impressive bunch offensively now. And you now got the two – you got your two staples, right? You got on the weekend rotation, Olsen and Kaminska, take them to the bank. Like, you're good. You're going to get five innings out of those guys. You got to find that third one, though. I'm not sure Caleb Clark's ready.
Yeah, I think you slide Caleb Clark into midweek, and I think it's either Garza or Brockett to pitch on Sunday. But that lineup, 1-9, that's a pretty strong lineup. Another thing, remember last weekend – the top four in the lineup wore the collar, but yet Nebraska put up a big crooked number. So that lineup 1-9 can be a problem. And again, you don't have Englund's bat in the lineup. They're hitting the ball. There's a lot of things to like about Nebraska baseball. Everybody has a hiccup. You know, you play 56 games, you have that one off night, you just don't let it affect you. And of course, Nebraska yesterday 2-1 as Schmitty referenced, and then blew them out 17-1. So they're fine. It's hard to believe that. We are now, next weekend is a conference weekend. I mean, Illinois is in Lincoln next weekend. I know the weather has been crappy, but, geez, this college baseball season is flying.
Sharpie, Brennan, our dear friend in the Black Hills, is making a little roadie for a wager to Wyoming. The Sharpie lock of the weekend is who? I know you mentioned KU, Arkansas -4, Tennessee, Duke -3.5, Auburn -5, Texas -5.5, Kentucky -2 over K-State, Baylor 1-1.5 over Creighton, Indiana -1.5, Miami, and then that's a little bit tomorrow, TCU, Gonzaga -4.5, Zags. Just a little friendly advice for your friend Brennan and in the Black Hills.
Take Arkansas.
Money line or to cover the spread?
Cover the spread.
Okay. Okay. I can respect that. Because Brennan messaged me last night. Apparently, he was riding the Fairleigh Dickinson money line last night.
Oh, no.
Oh, jeez.
Wow.
What? Of course. Then he needs to. Where is he buying that second home at?
It's in Wyoming. It's by the train station.
Yeah. Well, I'm actually will be at the Kansas Arkansas game today, so I will have my mobile gambling site up while I'm watching the game.
Good enough, Sharpie. Yeah. Enjoy your time this weekend, bud. Thanks for a few minutes.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Gary.
Heard at Sports Radio every weekday morning from 7 to 10 a.m. Coming up on Friday's show, it's a free-for-all as usual. We'll talk with Chad Forbes of NFL Draft Bites about all the things going on in the NFL. Mike Sauter from Herd at Sports stops by with all his takes on the latest local sports action. And, of course, we'll do our weekly check-in with former Husker and current pizza shop owner Matt Verzel. Take a dive into the latest news and all things sports. Herd at Sports Radio with Ravi Lula and Damon Benning.